Hey, you guys, welcome to the Listen Bitch podcast. This is your go-to destination for unlocking your full potential and embracing the extraordinary possibilities within you. This is a journey of self-discovery and empowerment as you explore the transformative power of stepping into greatness. Come into alignment with your God-given power and gifts. Unleash your soul and learn to co-create a life you love. As you become the writer of your own story, in this podcast, you're going to find inspiration, practical tips, and the sometimes abrasive nudge to take the leap of faith towards your dreams. You are in the right place. Buckle up so we can unleash your inner badass. You guys, I'm excited about today's guest. Okay. First of all, I haven't seen her in years. So getting her on a Zoom call where I could see her face, I'm so excited. I just wish I could squeeze her. But I'm bringing on Hannah Lane today. She's a single mom with three daughters, pretty much drowned her life through adventure and hardship. She's a serial entrepreneur and a cog in the wheel of corporate America. She has had some incredible life and work experiences. Most recently, she knows I'm a huge fan of this because we are obsessed with our Indians. Okay. She spent 2 years as an ambassador for Indian Motorcycle, not just a brand representative, but an actress and a model. She's continued to do other motorsports modeling and international ad campaigns and literally pinches herself to get paid to look good on motorcycles, look good on and ride motorcycles. She is a Jill of all trades, specializing in software implementation, project management, corporate training, human resources, motorcycle sales. And most recently, I love this because you get to work with someone I love to death, Sabra. That's got to be fantastic. She works as a manager for a healing and wellness center using advanced healing modalities. She's always looking to be challenged, excited, and allowed to let her freak flag fry. We're going to fry your frag. You guys, welcome. Welcome to the beautiful Hannah Lane. Thank you so much for this today.
Thank you, Brandon. I'm absolutely stoked. I really am.
That's awesome. So this is the thing. When I bring people on the podcast, it's usually with the premise of like, what's your 30-minute TED talk, right? So I want to see what someone's passion is, what they can go crazy about. And when I talk to Hannah about hers, she's talking about intuition. Okay. Yes. But I'm going to start this podcast off with my view of Hannah. Okay. And what I think of when I think of her, because especially I just did a podcast interview that was probably on the list of my top 10 least favorites. Okay. And I'm going to say why it's not necessarily like, there's no judgment. Okay. People are people. They are who they are. But I really struggle with people who have this desire to look perfect and to sound perfect. And what I really love about Hannah is that she is authentic. Like ever since the first time I've seen you, you are just so much you. And I think you were a seed planted in my life because honestly, authenticity is the core of who I've always aspired to be. I just want people to see that I'm just me. So I want to talk about this for a second before we get into this. Like, is there a story or a time in your life where you actually woke up to understanding what it was to be authentic? And did it lead you to like a huge change or any breakthrough? Or were you just born like this?
No, I was raised Mormon. So okay. For the first 29 years of my life, I had perfectionism down to a bloody art. I was the picture of perfection from the outside. I was a card carrying, rule following, building going member of the Mormon church. I didn't drink. I didn't smoke. Mm-hmm. I was married. I had three children by the time I was 27. I was doing all the things that one does. And that's all I knew. So there's no way to really, I didn't know what I didn't know at the time. Right. After my second divorce when I was 29, I moved. When I moved, I realized I didn't have to go to church at the new place. I realized they wouldn't know who I was when I moved. And it became this slow removal for me of that practice. And deprogramming from a high demand religion, and it was incredibly abusive and awful. And deprogramming from that took a really long time, but in the course of deprogramming was this, I know this is audio and I speak with my hands. Someone's like, if you cut off your hands, we'll talk. It was a cracking open from my sternum, from my ribs. the slow cracking open to molt off the old Hannah. And what emerged was the freak flag, was the pendulum swing to, oh my gosh, I've been in a box. And I've been a wife, a mother, the perfect leader, the perfect blah, 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 blah for all these years. And none of it is who I really am. And a lot of people who are in or have left that religion would say, oh, they just want to go sin. They just want to go be naughty. And I never did.
Right.
To this day, I've been drunk one time in my life. And I like to say that it's a funny story because there was no pendulum swing for me in that deconstruction. And so through that deconstruction and the deprogramming, I just found a light. I found creativity. I found dancing. I found this lack of care for what other people thought. And that is, that's hard. And that takes a long time. And it's a lifelong process to deprogram from any of it.
Right. So you still are working on that process today, because anybody could see you and be like, she has it figured out. She is the light. She is free. She is. How could you ever care what people think?
I try not to, but life has ups and downs, and it's been a really shitty year and a half. I'm sorry. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear. Can I swear?
Oh, this is the Listen Bitch podcast, please.
Yes! It's been a shitty ass year and a half.
Yeah.
There's been some really, really dark places, and part of the authenticity, I think, is also showing that there's darkness and that I'm capable of darkness and sad and grief and loss and just the underbelly of human emotion, and allowing oneself to like actually feel and go through that instead of trying to spiritually bypass or psychologically bypass.
Right. And there is this toxic side of religion where it doesn't necessarily push you towards feeling those things. It is like a constant, it's kind of that toxic positivity on a different level. And that's not fair. It's not fair either. You know, I think, you know, something that my husband and I were talking about last night, because I think, you know, I was brought up in a Baptist church and that was a great foundation for me. Did I leave? Did I go sin? Did I do a bunch of things? Absolutely. Like, I am definitely God's most rebellious child. Okay. 100%. Like, he literally is just like wants to strangle me sometimes. I feel that. So we're talking about that. And I'm thinking, man, I'm glad I had that core though, because no matter what I went through, I always came back to God. But it wasn't because someone was trying to scare me into it. It wasn't because I fell for, like, you know, the politics or the religious tactics. I didn't fall for any of that. But I think about how important it would be for my kids, you know, and I think if I could change anything about who I was as a parent, I feel like I wish I would have had my kids in church when they were little. I really do wish I would have done that, not become a part of a religious cult. And it's not too late for the kids. But something I was telling my husband, you know, I understand, like, we're talking about their journey. And I'm like, I understand, like, I just want them to have that foundation, because I know they're going to go ham and they're going to do their own thing, because they are my kids. There's a rebellious streak in them. But I feel like if we plant that seed at the core of who they are, they would always come back to him, and it will never be about fear. I don't want people to think that they have to love God because he's going to burn the earth, you guys. It's going to open up and swallow us whole. Like, it's not about the fear, right? So you have all that. You have all that foundation. And now I feel like that freedom of being able to feel your emotions and to express them, like, nothing can touch that. Because at the core, I mean, God is a light through you. It's amazing.
It is. And my kids had a really unique situation where I wasn't in the religion anymore, but their dads were.
Yeah.
So we had 50-50 custody. My kids got religion at their house. They didn't. Mm-hmm. They got choice at my house, is what I like to call it.
Right.
And so I took them to any church activities they wanted to go to, supported them in whatever they wanted to experience in that world. And then when they were old enough to choose, they chose over here. And it's because they had choice. I didn't have choice.
Right.
But my kids had choice, and they choose what feels good. And that's all I could ever hope for as a parent.
Right.
Is that they use their guidance system, their intuition,
Intuition. We're going to get there.
We're going to get there. They use their guidance system now.
Yeah.
Because it had choice.
Right. And I think we all, we all need that choice. I feel like if you're trying to smother your kids and force things on them, you're repelling them from everything that matters. Like, you're going to repel the kids. And I think, you know, a lot of strict religious families end up raising what we call, what the world calls, what society calls atheists, you know, which, I mean, if we brought up some philosophy class, we could say atheists do believe in something, even if it means they believe in nothing. So there's a belief there. So it's all a contradiction, but it's that, you know, the toxicity, the forcefulness, it pushes them into a corner. And if, you know, I'd be the same way. If you're going to force me to choose, I'll choose nothing.
Absolutely.
I'll choose nothing. So when, because I just, authenticity is so big to me. How do you define it in your life? Like, is it something that you consciously think of? And if someone was listening right now and they're like, man, I really want to live my life as my authentic self, what would you speak on when it comes to their idea of that?
I think you have to demask. And we hear a lot about unmasking in terms of neurospiciness. Mm-hmm. But unmasking is for all humans. And unmasking is the thing we put on for mom and dad. It's the thing we put on for boss. It's the thing we put on for this friend. It's the thing we put on for that friend. It's the thing we put on for our neighbors. We all have masks. And the masks are a small representation of who we are. It's not saying that the mask doesn't mean that we are who we are, you know, who mm-hmm. the mask says. Mm-hmm. Authenticity is pulling back that mask a little bit at a time and creating coherence mm-hmm. in who you are. And so how you show up for mom and dad, how you show up for your neighbor, how you show up for your boss, how you show up for this friend and that friend and your sister and your kids starts to become aligned. Mm-hmm. It starts to become coherent, where the switch between that mask is less and less every time. Mm-hmm. First of all, that's exhausting.
I'm tired just listening to you talk about it.
Yes, but I know we do it.
Yeah.
And we have to, like, and I understand there's a, you know, there's a corporate mask that most people have to put on. I'm just saying in general terms. Mm-hmm. So if we learn to unmask and we learn to have coherence for who we are as humans, the first step is the unmasking. The second step is what we kind of hit on earlier, and it's that you have to come to a clear and obvious decision. And this is one of the first conscious decisions that happens in this process. You have to decide that you no longer care what anyone thinks of you. Who, Brendan, who is the person who is on the dance floor when no mm-hmm. one else is?
That's Hannah Lane.
That's me.
Mm-hmm.
And there's 1,000 eyes going, that girl is weird. Her pants are funny. Look the way her hair is. She makes a stupid face. She's not a great dancer.
I don't think anybody thinks that. You're crazy. It is like everybody wants that freedom. Everybody's like, man, I wish I could do that. At the core of who we are, everybody inside of themselves wants to be able to dance in front of a room full of people and not think twice about it. At the core of who they are.
They'll get triggered first.
Yeah, that's wild to me.
And your trigger is your key.
Yes. So oh, that's powerful right there. Your trigger is your key. Mm-hmm.
If you're triggered, if there's someone in the audience who thinks that, if we were to take them and say, what's really going on? The desire to be out there is the real thing. And what's mm-hmm. happening is they're keeping themselves back from joining me on the dance floor mm-hmm. by being triggered, by being critical. And then there's that range all the way to the people who then eventually make it out there with me to boogie. Okay. Mm-hmm. There's a conscious moment where everyone has to go, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what anybody thinks of me. And it can range all the way from being the only one on the dance floor to an overbearing mother-in-law to the friend that you know is manipulative and controlling and you have to distance yourself even though you love right. her, the siblings who push the buttons. There's always going to be something, but when we tiptoe towards authenticity. Mm-hmm. We're tiptoeing into that space that says, I don't give a shit what you think about me.
Mm-hmm. Was that scary at first for you? Do you still get scared? Yeah,
I do. Cool. And you know what scares me? It's the other side. It's not dancing anymore. It's not dancing in front of thousands of people anymore. It is what scares me about authenticity is the dark side of me. Mm-hmm. My sadness, my tears, my emotion, because people don't expect that. They want happy Hannah. Put on a smiley face. You're fine. You're Hannah. You blah, blah. No, the emotions are just as real for me. And that's what scares me, because people expect happy Hannah.
Yeah, that's toxic. Anybody that can expect anything from another human being, number one, I think is super toxic. You can't have those expectations. But to declare toxic positivity on the life of someone who, I mean, you should be celebrated just as much for the dark side as you are the light, 100%. Because that's a powerful thing to be able to face those emotions. That's why people are drinking. That's why people are addicted to drugs. That's why people are, you know, having affairs, because they cannot face that emotion.
Absolutely. That's a mask.
It's a mask. And you guys, I don't wear one because I am too fucking tired. I've got 6 kids. I've got a lot going on. I don't have time to mask it. And everybody's like, you just eat. And I'm like, well, then I guess I am, because this face stays the same all the time. It's the RBF. And that's it. I don't have the energy to be anybody else. I don't.
Amen.
It's exhausting. So if you're someone who is tired all the time, that's probably what you should start looking at. Like, step number one, it's not about another energy drink. It's about, like, who are you trying to be? You know, how much are you faking it in your life? Because you don't have to. It's scary at first, but I feel like it's super safe. Have you ever face-to-face handled criticism or pushback? Obviously, with the dark side, you are feeling that now. I can tell about that. But even, like, happy Hannah to your face, because I know you're telling me what you think people are thinking. Okay. But how did you handle it if it was received face-to-face?
I've always gotten pushback. And wow. I will tell you that it's, I'm going to try to not use disclaimers, but because you have a broad audience, I'm going to use a single disclaimer that I am going to generalize and say that most of the pushback comes from men.
Okay.
And so I already care a little bit less about the opinion of someone who's coming to me because they expect me to be a certain way for their satisfaction. Yes, we'll say so. The male gaze, and I don't have a problem with men. Love men, whatever. I don't have a problem with that. But it's usually men who want me to act a certain way so that they are comfortable looking at me, the way that they want to look at me, the way that they want to perceive me. They want to perceive someone who's sexy or someone that they can fantasize, and I'm going to use the word fantasize just because that's a general term, someone that they can look upon, someone that they can perceive. So a lot of the pushback comes from men who don't want to perceive me having fun or being joyous. It's very weird, but very consistent.
I see that, though. I see that in human nature all the way around, is that, you know, people are walking around with this expectation of people to act a certain way for them to be okay, because they're so bleh here, everything's miswired, misfiring. And so they find comfort in putting people in a box, for sure. I see that.
I've only been told by men that I'm too much. And I've only been told by men that, I just lost that one. It was so good. Like, a very specific thing that men have said about me being too much, and that I have too much fun by myself. That's what it was. No man could ever approach you to dance, or no man could ever approach you to ask you out, because you're having fun by yourself. So what do we bring to the table? And I'm like, bah, boo, boo. If you can't come up on and yell and dance with me, then it's just,
you weren't meant to.
Yeah. So
you weren't meant to. You talked about having that coherence, like when you're stepping into, ooh, cheers to everyday dose, mama. She's drinking the stuff, you guys. Okay. The link is actually already in the notes because the shit is fire. Everyday Dose. I swear by it. I just saw her cup and I got so excited. You got this. Everyday Dose. That stuff is the shit. It is my morning cup of joy. I'll just say that. But anyway, back on topic, you're talking about coherence, and I want people to understand what that is. It is a level of brain and heart connection. That means, like, if you are not in alignment, you are going to be stressed out. You're going to feel frazzled. So if you're doing something and you're questioning if it's your purpose, sit with it for a minute. And how do you feel? Like, what is your tool for getting into alignment, to making sure that your heart and brain are on the same page?
I do a shit ton of meditating.
Mm-hmm.
I do a shit ton of, I have a shit ton of alone time, which I know that most of the population doesn't get, and we need way, way more of. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to hit on that a little bit later too. But we have to know who we are inside. That's how you create coherence. Masking and the stuff and the show and the here is all mm-hmm. because we actually don't know who we are as an individual. A lot of us have never been given the time to just really dig in and see what we're about. And so we put out these feelers to, how are people going to respond to me? How is this person? Mm-hmm. If I'm this way with this person, if I'm this person with this way with this person. So coherence is being so sure of yourself that you can act in the same manner over and over and over again with different people and get the same result. So coherence comes from knowing who we are. Coherence comes from, even if it's not all the way, it's a surety about who Brandon is, about who Hannah is.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to pick anymore. You don't have to have hypervigilance. You don't have to say, how does this person want me to behave? You know who you are, and I know who I am, so that we approach every situation with alignment. And yes, it is that string that goes between head and heart. And it's much easier go when we're on that string of alignment than trying to figure out the squiggly wiggly of how to act between different people.
Right. And you know, part of my journaling this morning is because for some reason, like this entire year, I've kept myself on the struggle bus with business a lot. And for what though? For what? Right. Cause I'm like, come on, the I am statements, let's bring this through. And I realized today I'm not in alignment. My head and my heart are different. I have like a cynical voice. I have, I've just built these barriers. And so I've figured out the core of like, okay, this is where we're at. We're starting at ground one. I have to retell the stories, right? I have to figure out, why was this the lesson and how come this is standing out so much for me? So it's a bizarre thing, but coherence matters in every aspect of your life. And it doesn't mean, because I'm sitting here, I'm doing the podcast, everybody knows this is Brandon, this is it, this is her. Bring the confidence. I could talk about a lot of things with a lot of power. And then the minute someone talks about business, I shrink and I'm like, not in coherence, right? So two things can be true, you guys. Two things can be true. You can have a lot of great shit going on for you, but it doesn't mean that you can't be struggling in any other area of your life. And I want you guys to know that, because I think so many people are in that space. And I think today's podcast actually talked about that, about understanding that two things can be true. So this is a journey. It's not like you wake up one day and everything just makes sense. You don't just decide, hey, I want to be authentic and I want to be in coherence and boom, magic wand, everything is amazing. It doesn't work like that. It is absolute deliberate, intentional work.
It is.
And it's worth it. I can ignore things all I want, but I'm not going to grow and feel fulfilled as a person. There's going to be this little tiny thing, right? This little tiny thing. And the trigger is the key. Hannah's talking about that. I have a lot of triggers when it comes to business. And I'm like, let's get to the bottom of that. Instead of running from it, instead of hiding, instead of judging, I'm like, let's figure this shit out.
Yeah. Amen.
So let's get into intuition. Okay. Let's just have you define what intuition is and how or what distinguishes it from other forms of decision making.
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so excited. Okay. Intuition, I believe, has many names. And the reason, okay, we're going to use the word intuition as an umbrella term, mm-hmm. but it can have many names and many facets. And a lot of people understand, so I don't want to exclude anyone because of the name we're using. That's what I'm trying to get at. Intuition is an umbrella. It can also be called your emotional guidance system, as Esther Hicks likes to say. Mm-hmm. It can also be called your high flying vortex. It can also be called spirit. It can also be called Jiminy Cricket. It can also be called your conscience. Okay. So all of these words mean generally the same thing, mm-hmm. which is the inherent, innate, God-given thing that every single one of us has, that we came here with, that is the only thing that we have when we arrived on this planet. Mm-hmm. However anyone believes we got here as physical bodies, we're spirits, non-physical beings driving meat sacks, okay? Mm-hmm. The meat sack that we arrive with is irrelevant. The non-physical part of us, our spirit, our soul, is endless and timeless. And all of us came here with one of those, with a spirit or a soul. And it's the only thing that we were given to navigate this world and this existence and this journey. And it was not left from anyone. Everyone has it. Period. That's how I define intuition.
Mm-hmm. What techniques do you use to cultivate or strengthen your intuition?
Why, Brandon, I'm glad you asked. creating the space for us to have intuition and heal intuition and grow intuition is a diet, just like our physical bodies. Mm-hmm. So you and I were in health and nutrition, health and wellness for a long, mm-hmm. long time. And as a health and wellness coach, one of the things that I always taught was the best way to reset your physical body is to do fasting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. 24, 36, 48, 72. I've done 90-hour fasts. I've done 96-hour fasts. What happens when we physically fast our physical bodies? We detox, the yuckiness leaves. There are cellular resets and autophagy and biological processes that get our physical bodies back to like a ground zero, back to the starting point, back to, mm-hmm. back to point O. From there, we can intuitively eat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We remove the cravings. We remove the, I need sugar. You remove cravings. I'm just going to leave it simple. Like you remove cravings, your body will tell you what it actually needs.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not craving sugar and carbs and whatever, your body will say, I need you to eat a cucumber.
Mm-hmm.
Like a cucumber will just all of a sudden sound good, or an orange will all of a sudden sound good, or a ribeye will all of a sudden sound good.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, we train our human bodies to receive information for us, we train our spirits and our souls. And how do we do that? Through fasting,
mm-hmm.
spiritual fasting. And spiritual fasting consists of things that people are not going to like. They're not going to like this answer.
Mm-hmm.
I've not had a TV for a year and a half. There's no TV in my house. I have not watched the news in 10 years.
Nice.
I don't watch movies. I've been to one movie in a theater in a year and a half. I don't watch Netflix. I have informational things on social media that I go to for resource information, research, learning. But my spirit is fasted.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when we fast from media, from the mm-hmm. world, from all the stuff that's out there? we can actually determine what is real and what is true and what is right when we remove the sugar, carbs, and toxicity of our life that's being mm-hmm. we're being bombarded all the time.
We have better discernment when we are clear. That's yes. the only time I feel like I can discern anything is like when I am fasting, and fasting Absolutely. Means everything.
And we don't know how bad it is when we're in it. When right. I started this process a year and a half ago, no TV, no news, no social media input. I didn't realize how deep, and I'm going to keep everything political out of it, but we mm-hmm. have to understand there's a piece of this that we all have to understand is that there is a purpose and a plan for them to keep us spiritually obese. Mm-hmm. And it's so that we are easily influenced, and yep. it's so that our intuition is masked, and it's so that our intuition is mm-hmm. suffocated.
And it's with everything. It's with the food, it's with the media, it's with the news, it's everything. There is an intention to keep you sick and stupid.
Yes. Sick
Let's be entertained by stupid viral videos of some girl spitting on a microphone. I hate the internet sometimes. I fucking hate yes. it.
I do too. And there's solace in it. Like I judge how my life is going and my brain is going by my TikTok algorithm.
Yes.
And I'll tell you yesterday that my TikTok algorithm was independent music artists, pottery, cats.
I get naked cats. I watch raw chickens all fucking day, you guys. And pimple popping videos. Okay, that's my algorithm. I've said it.
Yes. And that's it. I realize that is part of the numb and that we all still mm-hmm. do scroll a little bit. But I judge where my brain is by my TikTok algorithm. To me, yes. that's pretty clear. And I just do that while I'm sitting waiting for an appointment or whatever.
Right.
But we have to, whether you like it or not, whether your audience likes to hear this or not, this is the hard, hard truth.
They don't like anything I say, Hannah, but they still come back. It's okay. It's okay.
You better listen to Brandon.
No. And listen to Hannah. She knows what she's talking about, y'all.
We're trying. I mean, this is something that I've realized in a very recently that I have lived this experience of going from my intuition being taught out of me mm-hmm. to my intuition being so on point that it's verging on precognitive. Like I can instantly tell you about someone.
Yes.
Instantly. And it doesn't mean I'm going to judge, but it means that I'm going to decide how my interactions with any given population will go.
Yes.
It's very important when we're dating. Mm-hmm. For those out there dating, your intuition is always right.
Yes.
Always, 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 always. And especially women, we're taught out of that. We've been taught out of it our whole lives.
Right.
So it's a
Well, I definitely can feel that. I knew with this podcast I just recorded, it was a matter of her getting on camera and my heart sank. And I was like, man, that sucks. That really sucks. I wasn't excited. It was, and I don't fake it, you guys. It was so hard to maneuver through. And there was resistance with every question asked because how dare I make someone look human? And it was such a struggle. And I thought, I'm not going to not be me. So I'm not going to play into the like, let's live perfection. I just kept banging on the wall. That's all I can do is just be me. Right. So as soon as I saw that, I'm like, okay, this level of perfection is not for me. I get that. And I understand like I have complete strangers coming on any given day to do these recordings, you know, and it's the risk I'm taking.
Yeah.
Of there it is. But it, you know, because I'm not absorbed in a bunch of other things because I've been feeding and nurturing my body the way it needed to be, I had that discernment and I knew right away. And so I could calibrate to that situation immediately and not just stumble on my words. Like, I don't even know what to do. So it's, you have to trust your instincts. And if you have that discernment, it's everything.
It is.
And having that discernment, how much does that play into your authenticity?
It's, it becomes one and the same.
Yes.
Because if you're making decisions based on your intuition, then you are in alignment. Then you do have coherence. When the only time you're going to have incoherence is when you go against your intuition. Mm-hmm. Can I tell a quick story?
Is yes. There time? Yes.
I specifically want to do this because this was the universe. It was the most beautiful test, and I've never forgotten this. It was the perfect test for the universe to go, fine. You think you know what you're doing? Do it. Okay. So I used to host karaoke. I was a KJ. And you get all sorts of characters. And I obviously would work at bars. And this really attractive guy came up and asked me out one time mm-hmm. when I was being a karaoke person. And immediately I got a no. And I didn't know anything about him. He's a perfect stranger. He had a beautiful face. He was nice. He was so polite.
Yeah.
He was kind. He wasn't pushy, but I got an immediate no. And so I said, oh, no, thank you. I try not to date anyone from, you know, mm-hmm. I don't want to shit where I eat, basically.
Yes.
So I said no. So a couple weeks go by and this guy comes back to karaoke and he's sitting out in the audience. He's not bugging me. He's not being pushy again. So I'm like, okay, what the heck? So I have this conversation with myself sitting at the booth doing my KJ stuff. I'm going, I was told no, like I had an immediate no and I listened mm-hmm. to the no, but I don't understand why. Because yeah. he seems nice. He seems like mm-hmm. a nice guy. So he came up a little later to request a song and I said, I want to take you up on that date. And he was kind of taken back and he said, okay, let's go out. So we planned mm-hmm. this date. When I tell you, within eight days, the situation escalated and devolved so quickly.
Wow.
It was like within two dates, he wanted to get married and he was picking out property and he was saying that I was his lifelong. So we all know that's narcissistic love bombing and everything.
Yes.
But then it turned into, I found out he didn't have a job. He was living at his dad's house. He didn't have a car. DUIs. He'd been hiding all of this. Okay. So in 0 to 8 days, the universe was like, if you're not going to listen, and if you don't trust me, the universe saying, if you don't trust me, then you don't trust yourself. Exactly. Go ahead and have this little experience. Mm-hmm. So it was this beautiful thing where I was allowed to have the first hit that said, no, don't date this person. And then to have